You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
All right, here we go on a Thursday. It's Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. Coming up in about an hour from now, we will check in with Danan Hughes, former Chiefs wide receiver. He, of course, part of the broadcast crew right here on 96.5, the Fan for the Chiefs Radio Network. Every time we have Danan on, it's like, well, this is a massive game. This is a massive game. This is a must-win game. This is the ultimate one at this point in time for the Chiefs. I want to ask him about that Texans defense and what does he think the Chiefs can do at all to try to contain a little bit of that pass rush while you're also down, potentially, your starting left and right tackle. We already know you're down your starting left tackle as Josh Simmons was placed on IR a day or so ago. So Daniel will join us, and then Jay Binkley also going to join us in 30 minutes. Yesterday, of course, the news of the day with Chris Kleiman stepping down, retiring. There's reports out of Manhattan today that there could be a finalized contract with Colin Klein as soon as today and maybe even an introduction or something like that by the end of the week. So we'll see where that's at. But I want to get Bink's perspective on Gene Taylor's comments, the athletic director there at Kansas State, who alluded to what we kind of speculated on prior to the press conference yesterday, Cody, which is there's a lot of old school football coaches that the game is just so different. And what you got to do with donors and what you have to do with the transfer portal and all the NIL stuff is just not what these guys originally got in for. And you get burnt out / mentally exhausted, all this kind of stuff. So I want to ask Bink about those comments from Gene Taylor, where Gene Taylor said, look, it's something, if we don't get this under control, we're going to lose more good people in the sport. What's Bink's solution, if any, to this, and how do we move forward with that? So that's what we'll get into with Bank. You guys can always interact with us, 913-586-7965 on the Jay Southland Tow Service text line.
I think like anything, you know, it'll become more refined gold as time goes on, and that you won't, you know, people will start figuring out the system. My whole thing is I'm still think that people you should be the most annoyed with is the NCAA.
For sure.
Because they allowed it to become the Wild West. They put themselves in this position, not anyone else. And so once the floodgates open, because you've been battening down the hatches for 50 years, everyone took advantage and started to make it a big money-making opportunity. That's not surprising to me.
And you also have schools that are just completely ignoring like the whole settlement and everything. There's some schools that are just, they're just not, like, nobody's following the terms of it. So, and then what's
correct.
Where are the ramifications with that?
So it's none at the moment, at least there. But let's start with the Chiefs today. Obviously, we can get into some more of that with Jay Binkley and a little bit later on in the show, maybe even with Danan Hughes, who obviously played collegiate football. Curious to get his opinion as well. But I saw what I think multiple of us saw, which was Rex Ryan was talking a little bit about where the Chiefs are. And then I saw Warren Sharp this morning on social media. Let me play what Rex Ryan had to, or I'm sorry, ask about the Chiefs, at least on this end. And I'll tell you at the moment. He had started off by saying,
or Jeff Saturday.
Oh, sorry, Jeff Saturday. I was getting it mixed up. Jeff Saturday. Here's what he had to say about the Chiefs and how they might be viewed after.
We have all, including myself, and still do, think he is probably the best that's ever done it to this point in his career. It has been a remarkable watch what he's been capable of doing and what he has done for this franchise. But we can't act like that he hasn't been part of the issues that have happened with the Chiefs. He's thrown more interceptions late in games and done things that have just – and we talk about it. We're like, it's just – that's just not normal for Patrick Mahomes. Now, he doesn't have a run game. There's a lot of things. The offensive line hasn't been as good. There's a lot of reasons. It's not excuses. There are reasons. But I think when you looked at Patrick Mahomes, everybody just thought, we just throw whatever we want, and this guy's always going to get us to the Super Bowl. And that's been the expectation. And the problem for me is it's not that we made the playoffs. You're talking about if they don't make the playoffs. You still have a little less than a third of the season left over. If we don't make the playoffs, that means we are in a spiral, which would be shocking to me. But if they did miss the playoffs, it would make me look at Patrick Mahomes differently, because I just wouldn't expect a player in the prime.
It's just, it's so hard when you hear that say, well, they're going to look at him differently and all this other stuff. And I think it's insane. Looking at Patrick Mahomes differently in this given season, Gold, considering the fact that even if he misses the playoffs, differently in what way compared to the rest of the quarterbacks? How are the seasons going for them? The four quarterbacks, we all agree, this whole show, and I think a large majority, 80, 85%, 90% of football analysts, football fans agreed. Burrow, Jackson, Allen, Mahomes. How are the seasons going for the other guys? Josh Allen's team's going to lose the division. They're currently the 7 seed, so they're in the playoffs, but barely. Joe Burrow's team's not going to make it, and he got hurt again. Lamar Jackson's team is also 6-6, by the way, and fighting for their playoff lives. Who would have taken the crown, stripped it away? Why would this ruin the shine on him? His 7 years in the league, AFC Championship game, Super Bowl, AFC Championship game, Super Bowl, Super Bowl, Super Bowl appearance. Like, I'm sorry, one playoff loss negates the 7, or what's the math here?
So I don't know if Saturday was discussing it in terms of up against Tom Brady or the rest, because I'm with you. If it is trying to judge him against Allen, Burrow, Lamar, that absolutely won't change, even with a playoff appearance that doesn't exist in 2025, if in fact the Chiefs miss the playoffs. I hope that's not what he's discussing. Like, it'll make him look different compared to Allen or anybody like that. That to me is crazy.
Legacy.
But if we're talking in the GOAT conversation with Tom Brady, then I understand. Because ultimately, when you are clearly the best quarterback in this era, at this point, you're only going to be compared, because we're having an all-time conversation as well, you're only going to be compared to Tom Brady. Now, I have told you going back a couple Super Bowls ago that conversation, Brady and Mahomes, need to be paused for about a decade anyway, because I think Mahomes has a lot of catching up to do and would need to win another 2 Super Bowls before I would be willing to really reopen that conversation. And we said, hey, if they would have gone three-peat last year, Cody, which is something that Brady did not do either, then that would have potentially have helped the cause, no doubt, in the head-to-head matchup that they lost, that he lost, that would have maybe balanced that out a little bit. But none of that happened. So I don't think there is a conversation to be had about Brady and Mahomes anymore. I want to pause that for a decade. If that's what Saturday's talking about, then I agree with him. It hurts that conversation in that debate. But if he's trying to say that a missed playoff appearance for Mahomes changes how he should stack up against Allen or Burrow or Lamar, well, then that's where I completely disagree, and I'm with you.
Yeah, anybody else they try to toss into the mix, right? Because we know that if Drake May or Bo Nix or one of these other AFC quarterbacks or Stafford gets another, right? He's got a Super Bowl ring. He's got one of the best teams in the NFC. Fine. Stafford is one of the better quarterbacks to have played in the NFL. He gets 2 rings.
He's a Hall of Famer. Yeah.
If he gets 2 rings, he's going to get to enter his name into some deeper, more serious conversations. But it better not be like, well, he's now had a better career than Mahomes. Do I need to point out the number of times he's missed the playoffs? Not gone to a Super Bowl, not gone to an AFC title game. Get the hell out of here. Like, amongst the AFC teams, amongst the NFL quarterbacks, this should change 0 of your opinion. And I believe what was correctly pointed out by Warren Sharp on Twitter today, if you want to look at his statistical, because he's kind of an analytically based guy, his statistical stuff, he's saying numbers-wise, he's playing better than he played last year or the year before. 2 years in which he went to the Super Bowl and lost and won the Super
and
Bowl.
And how frustrating is what you just said? It goes back to our conversation about the entire season. That is true. And I think people, and I shouldn't say everybody, like I saw a text as well that they came in. I don't think any of us are suggesting that he's been perfect, that he hasn't made mistakes. But this idea, and I get it, when the season is going the way it has in Kansas City, everybody, including us, we're all looking for answers and who to blame and all that. And so I get it. That's just the name of the game and how this whole thing works.
The nature of the business.
And so he's the starting quarterback and the face of the franchise. So I get it. He's going to have to deal with blame. That's nobody's going to feel sorry for him. But I think people wanting to act as if the reason why they're in this spot is he just hasn't been as good, I just think that's completely inaccurate.
In the first, I just like, even if you look at it, other than Tom Brady, who we agree, there's just no point in having that conversation. You got to set it aside. Patrick Mahomes got to get to 5 Super Bowl rings before I even bring it up again, is the truth, Gold. Like, before I start saying, oh no, I do think he's just as good and here's why and his division's harder. Because at any point, Bo Nix is probably better than any quarterback that Tom Brady ever played against in his own division. And I don't even like Bo Nix that much. So what does that say about where they are? Peyton Manning, in the first 5 years of his career, finished a season 10-6 and 6-10 and 3-13 and missed the playoffs multiple times. But it's this caveat of, and what I think they're trying to hold him against him, Gold, is it's weird at this age. By the time Tom Brady was established and was 30, by the time Peyton Manning was established and was 30, his team just won 12, 13, 14 games a year. They did. They won that same number over and over and over again. 12, 13, you know, yeah. Like, so this year still feels like an outlier compared to the greats, unless you're talking about the years in which they missed full seasons or got injured or other stuff occurred. But that's just been the theme of the season. You and I just said on the numbers they just gave you. I think it actually passes the eye test too. Patrick Mahomes is clearly playing better quarterback than last year. Clearly, I think.
Well, the offense as a whole is better. Like, as much as we're frustrated about individual moments and key drops and stuff like that, the offense is better than a year ago. The defense is clearly not.
Nope.
And then we get into all the other conversations that we've had for weeks and weeks. And you guys are well aware. We don't have to revisit the issues that they
the
have had.
Yeah, big time moments and those other things.
But yeah, the offense is better and it adds, how many times do we have to say it? It adds to the frustration because this is why the Chiefs, Bob and Dusty were asking me in the segment I was on with them talking betting in at like 9:30. Like, well, they were asking, why are they still favorites in all these games? Because the actual data and the numbers say they're actually a pretty damn good team. But it doesn't, the results are the results. They're 6-6. They're an average. They're literally an average football team.
I think that's where, you know, I guess they didn't say it. So maybe it's not that, but it feels like those comments are in regards to the, we expect more out of Patrick Mahomes thing because we compare him to Tom Brady. We're not comparing Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow. None of them are in the GOAT conversation where Patrick Mahomes has been. And I think that's why, given the season that they've had from the legacy standpoint of this guy's been in GOAT conversation, this is very disappointing for this reason. And I know that they didn't reference it, so maybe they actually do feel that way in comparison to Burrow, Allen, and Lamar. But I think just based on the premise of the way that people are reacting to it,
sure,
it only makes sense that it's because we've compared him to Tom Brady that this conversation is actually an actual talking point. Is, yeah, Tom, you know, Tom didn't really have any seasons like this. If he did, he was hurt. You know, like
he did, though. He missed the playoffs in his second year as an NFL starter.
So
does it matter if it's year 7 versus year or year 8 versus year 2? I'm just,
you're like, starting to nitpick at that point then, I guess. Yeah. To your point, Cody.
Yeah. Now you're just saying like,
find reasons he's not a part of the conversation.
It's different for year, because if you want to give me like, even in the Tom Brady case, if I just stack up their first 8 seasons in the NFL and I include this one, and I include that Tom Brady's 8th season is the year he went 8-0,
mm-hmm.
and went all the way to the Super Bowl and lost, by the way, the same as Patrick Mahomes went to the Super Bowl and lost last year. If I stack them up, touchdowns, yards, Super Bowl wins, Super Bowl appearances, MVPs, Super Bowl MVPs, missed playoffs, as in it would be one for each in the hypothetical, I'm saying Patrick Mahomes still ahead on all of them. Every statistic except for Super Bowl titles in which they'd be even. And so it's like, even if you want to make the bigger point, and you and I are saying we got to set it aside until
truly, I get why from a what we do for a living, why we talk about Brady versus Mahomes. I have just told you, I don't think there's a real conversation.
Yeah.
I don't think you, if you're a Chiefs fan, you even want to have that conversation right now. One, it won't end up in your favor currently. if you're trying to have that debate, because I don't think the numbers are there to support him being better, other than just saying he's a more athletic quarterback and all that. But in terms of how we talk about goats in sports, and
sure,
it's become such a ring-oriented conversation, you don't want that conversation right now. Let's pause for a decade, and then let's see where he's at. So that was why, when Jeff Saturday said that, if he's just talking about it will hurt him in comparison to Brady, I think there is some truth to that, but it'll be more about the ring issue than it will. Like, if Mahomes finishes 3+ rings off of Brady, well, then there is no debate to have.
Yeah, and like, I'm just going to keep pointing out other examples. Let's say the Chiefs make the playoffs as the 7th seed. You're like, well, does that hurt him versus Tom Brady? Tom Brady, age 32. Made the playoffs with a 10-6 record, lost in the wild card round. So it's like, I don't have to, it's not that hard to find examples. Teams have bad years, quarterbacks have down seasons.
Right.
And this is certainly going to be, and this is what's so funny, and this is why I don't think it should hurt his legacy. The idea that a, let's call it 9-8 season, hurts Patrick Mahomes' legacy, when I know the three previous seasons were Super Bowl appearance and win, Super Bowl appearance and win, and Super Bowl appearance and loss. What did I just forget? Did you Men in Black flashy thing erase my memory and I just forgot the previous 3 years existed? Not to mention, going to next year, I know they still have Patrick Mahomes and I still know they have Andy Reid. Guess what? Gold, do you think I'm going to think they win the division next year? Because the answer is yes. Not even knowing what they do yet in the offseason, I still
assume
the Chiefs will be a division winner.
So that's a whole another conversation. Yeah. I'm not there. You said that very confidently. No, I'm not so sure about that, Cody. I got it.
They'll just bounce back.
There's too many roster holes, and everybody gets a year older. So I will not be there, especially if I end up seeing Bo Nix or Herbert actually do something in the playoffs. Now, if they both are one and done in the postseason, then I'll be more confident in that. I mean, because I sure as heck know the Raiders aren't getting any better anytime soon. So, that's an offseason conversation, but otherwise it's interesting because we know whenever it's official, if in fact it becomes official, that the Chiefs are mathematically eliminated, and we're going to be a couple weeks away. Even if they lose on Sunday, they will not be mathematically eliminated. It will be fascinating how many people will try to use it as this is completely the end of any conversation, or prop up Josh Allen because of it. That's where I will disagree. All right, yesterday we had Matthew Berry on. He, of course, will be in Kansas City, actually, with Sunday Night Football. You guys see him on pregame. He does great work with DraftKings. Also has FantasyLife.com. We talked about the guillotine leagues and everything with him yesterday. And he brought up a point about the Chiefs-Texans game and who really needs to step up the most. And on one hand, you might think, well, clearly the Chiefs' offensive line, no matter who's out there. But he talked about the defense.
But I think the Chiefs' defense needs to show up. I think it's been an inconsistent year for Chris Jones. And I think you need a big game from him. And I think you need a big game from, you know, from the Chiefs defense. They need to step up here, because when C.J. Stroud is under pressure, he starts seeing ghosts. He starts getting the yips. We saw it last year. We've seen it some this year as well. Their offensive line isn't strong either. And so I think if you guys can get home to Stroud, you guys have a really good chance here, because they're not that good at running the ball, the Texans are. They've managed to basically win these games by playing good defense and scoring just enough. So I think if the Chiefs defense shows up here, I think the Chiefs offense will do enough to bring home the victory.
The only path to victory for Kansas City, in my opinion, is that the defense is also able to cause problems for C.J. Stroud and a Texans offense that I'm not impressed by. Like, we all know, we feel like, what this Texans defense is likely to do to Kansas City's offense, especially if they're going to have backups throughout the offensive line. Like, it could be ugly and frustrating, and you're trying to just barely move the football and see if you can't get into the red zone. Because I looked this up last night on my betting show. It's weird that the Texans defense top five in multiple categories, where they actually have been below average red zone defense percentage. Like, if you get to the red zone on the Texans defense, you actually are doing all right. But getting there, good luck. On the flip side, the Texans offense is not that impressive. So I would agree with Matthew Berry there, Cody, that if you're telling me the true difference in the game, what the Chiefs can actually have a real impact on, it's if this defense puts together a much better performance and allows the offense to be in a game in which, if the Chiefs get to 20, it's good enough. And it might be against this opponent.
I think it's a much
bigger, get there, though?
I think it's a much bigger game for the defense. I think we know. I think we fairly safely know the kind of problems the offensive line is going to have, and that's going to make it kind of a slog, and that they'll scheme and work and have some drives where they can still be quick passing, ruthlessly efficient, and they'll have a couple of drives where they don't make a mistake that doesn't cause the thing to kind of go down, and everything else in between. And so we know that will check out and work through and everything else. Sure. Okay. The defense has to step up. I mean, we just know. We just know the defense has to step up. And that's the part of it that really matters more than just anything else in this scenario, is that the defense is going to have to play their best game and not let a bad offense. And this is where the defense is certainly not as good as last year's, but this is a mediocre, or maybe bad, if you want to say offense. They're in the bottom 10 in points per game and a lot of other statistical categories. Now, they've been without their starting quarterback.
But Stroud hasn't played well this year. And I know that scares people because you're like, oh, watch him have his best game of the year. Maybe he will. I don't know. But CJ Stroud has been average, and that's actually probably being kind.
Yeah.
In 2025.
Look, I understand Nico Collins presents a problem for the, once again, Chiefs' undersized cornerback set, including a guy like Trent McDuffie. So is there a chance that he could take advantage? Yeah. Well, Trent McDuffie's going to not have to have the worst game he's had as a career, in his career as a starter, which is what he had, I think, against CeeDee Lamb. I can't think of a game other than maybe the one against Cortland Sutton. That very well is the worst game he's ever played as a professional. And so if he's better than that, you would think slowing down Nico Collins is certainly plausible, and they have to get a pass rush because the offensive line for the Texans is not particularly good. That's why teams have been doing a good job against them defensively. So you don't have the excuse of the Cowboys offensive line is good or the Broncos offensive line is good. That's why we're not getting a pass rush in October or November. It's time to step up in a big way. I know the offense also score points, Gold, but this is about, to me, keeping them in a lot of ways 20 or under. That's what I wanted of the defense this Sunday, 20 and under.
Well, that's funny you say that number, because the over-under team total for the Texans on Sunday is 19 and a half.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Over-under. I did not know that.
The Chiefs is 22 and a half over-under points.
Yeah, that honestly, doesn't that feel about right?
And that's why, I mean, yeah, the total for the game is 41 and a half. Yeah. So that's how they get to that number.
That feels right to me, man.
But this Houston offense, points per game, you went through some of the numbers, Cody, but like, and I understand Davis, like with Davis Mills, you could argue they're actually better temporarily. 21st in offense per game, points per game. I don't care about the yards per game. They're 18th. Yards per play, though, 5.1. Points per play, 23rd in the league. Third down conversion percentage, the Texans offense is 27th in the league. Fourth down conversion, 15th. Red zone scoring, they're second to last in the NFL in red zone offense, the Texans. So like the Chiefs defense, this is a game in which, to me, they can have one of their better days, even though they're flawed. This is not the Dallas Cowboys offense that they just faced a week ago.
And the Dallas Cowboys offense, they got guys all over the field. They're hard to guard. Lamb and Pickens and Jake Ferguson, and they've got good talented running backs. They're a difficult team to match up with, and a particularly, I would argue, bad matchup against your defense and the kind of defense that you play. But the defense has got to have one of those turn back the clock. Let's be last year's defense. Let's crunch down in the red zone. Let's hold them to field goals. I don't care if you give up some yards, but like limiting possessions in this game, keeping it low scoring, keeping the ball moving, and more importantly, defensively, in that first half, can you give them a lead? Can you make it so that the Texans don't know you're passing? Because if at any point the defense struggles early, which they have been known to do in the last couple of years, if they let the Texans get up 10-3, they give up their points early, that's a huge problem. Even more than later, that's a huge problem, because if the Texans know you're passing, that's what happened in the Bills game. They got behind on the Texans, and they teed off.
Yep.
They just waited for Josh Allen to step back and ruined his day. They have to do something different than that.
Yeah, now the Chiefs do have more playmakers than that Bills offense has, outside of James Cook, right? I mean, that would be the only thing, you know, that maybe gives you a different vibe. And we'll give our official predictions tomorrow. Like, last night, I pretty much said it. I think the Texans are covering at minimum in this game. The Chiefs' only reason why I could see them winning would be the Chiefs' defense is able to keep this very, very close. And so it's right there for Kansas City, like it has been for many, many games. And I'll usually side with the home team. But I would be very surprised if the Chiefs cover 3.5 points.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think it's going to be close. I'll just, as a hint for tomorrow's game predictions, I will be in the teens or 20s, low 20s. I mean,
I'll have the margin where the Texans are covering the 3.5. What my margin on score prediction, at minimum, maybe the Texans even win outright, but I will at minimum have, if the Chiefs are actually going to win, I think it's by 3 or less, not by 4 or more.
Yeah, we're going to have to find out. I guess we'll get more injury updates later around 11.
That's the other thing. Is Trey Smith playing? I mean, that's a huge deal. As much as we've talked about Juwan Taylor and how they might have to have Wanye Morris play left tackle and Jalen Moore at right, if you don't have Trey Smith, so Wanye then has Jalen Moore has Caliendo to his left.
I did see that one of the prevailing theories, we talked a little bit about this yesterday, everyone's like, Wanye at left tackle?
Yep.
We all know Jalen Moore is the better left tackle. This is a good idea. The one thing I did see, which does make a little bit of sense, is if you're on the right side, can you justify a right side of the offensive line that's Caliendo and Wanya Morris together? And how does that look? At least Kingsley is a qualified starting left guard who's been there all year, so you put him next to Wanya. You got Jalen Moore next to Caliendo. You protect both a little bit by not
you're
just
trying
making...
to balance the bad of both sides?
Yeah.
So it's like, the blind side, though. So like, one side, I'd rather the better just, one be on
yeah,
the blind
the thing,
side.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, you're talking... Yeah, unless, I mean, the Chiefs don't roll Mahomes out that much, because otherwise I'm like, well, they're hoping that, you know, they're rolling the pocket to the right. I just, that's not what they really have been doing.
No, I hope they do it in this game, in fairness. I would like them to move the pocket a little bit in this game, because otherwise it's going to be down to, can he complete one deep pass, or will they commit one deep penalty? And they got a great corner in Houston, too. We talk about their pass rush all the time. Derek Stingley Jr. Yeah. is incredible. Yep.
All right, up next, I want to get back into what happened yesterday in Manhattan, what continues to be one to watch, which is now the hiring, potentially, of Colin Klein. Jay Binkley's going to join us. He's got a lot of thoughts. We were all talking to him yesterday at various points of the day. I want to ask him about what happened with Chris Klieman, the comments from Gene Taylor, the athletic director there at K-State, about the state of college.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second, and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good. Like boots that inspire your next big adventure. Or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in. Or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes. They're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. At DSW stores or DSW.com.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Football. We're just getting started here on a Thursday. We're going to be joined by Jay Binkley in just a second. Talk some college football. One, we'll talk about K-State and where they're going with Colin Klein most likely and Chris Kleiman's retirement, but also the college football playoff conference title game weekend across college football. We were actually talking during the break that there's this report suggesting that Vanderbilt was looking maybe to add an extra game that was never even on the schedule to try to convince the committee. And they want to schedule a game against like Miami to
or Utah
to prove that they should be in. And I just firmly disagree with that. Like, you don't get to just add extra games because you know the committee doesn't view you favorably. Your body of work, whether I think it's good enough, I do, to get in. If the committee doesn't, then they don't. Like, now we're just adding extra games. Imagine in college basketball, Cody, if you got eliminated in the opening round of your Big 12 tournament, let's say. Let's say K-State a year ago or whatever, 2 years ago, whatever. Let's say K-State was a bubble team, and we all agreed that they needed to get to the conference final.
And they got knocked out of the first round of the Big 12 tournament.
And then Jerome Tang is calling up some other
Duke?
Power Five.
Hey, Duke, want to play?
Some other Power Five school that got eliminated early in their conference tournament. Like, please, let's schedule three more games the rest of the week and we'll still keep playing. No, you didn't do what you needed to do. Like, I hate this idea that now is like, well, we know the result's not going to be in our favor. So, like, we're going to beg you by, we're just going to schedule random games that we never had on the schedule
it does
before.
Seem weird. And they're like essentially games that don't count. So it's not a scrimmage, but it is a scrimmage.
If it doesn't count, then the committee shouldn't count it anyway.
I don't know, man. Yeah, because it doesn't count on your official record, but it's also like, look, we beat Miami. We're trying to prove it to you, I guess. But, like, I just don't think it should be allowed, I guess, is my bigger issue.
Yeah, we'll talk about that with Bink, but I want to start with Kansas State. Jay Binkley joins us here on Cody and Gold. Bink, we were texting a lot yesterday about the news and Manhattan. I don't necessarily need to get back into specifically the timing of everything, but just what do you make of what Gene Taylor was saying about Chris Kleiman's decision, basically alluding to the fact that it is because of the current climate in college football that people like Chris Kleiman are stepping away. This is not what they got the coaching got into the coaching world for.
Yeah, I was a little bit surprised by that because you have to know what it is. He's 58. We're not talking like he's, you know, Nick Saban's age here. But, you know, there's a lot of guys, you know, in the late 50s and the 60s where college football is not the way it used to be. And it will never go back to the same. It's more like the NFL now. It's like when these coaches never jumped to the NFL from college football. Now is the time to do it because there used to be this gap. These coaches would have control over every player, these one-year, you know, scholarship deals that they renewed and renewed, and they could make sure you didn't transfer to somebody else within the conference, and they held the power over the players. And clearly, when the portal changed that, name, image, and likeness changed that. So the power used to be there for the coaches. It's not there anymore, and a lot of them are having a tough time dealing with it, but just the way it is. Like, if you're going to get into college football or stay in college football, this is the way it is. Like, can I see him going down to a lower level in coaching? I do.
I think that it makes a lot of sense, I guess, for him if that's the mindset going into it. But, like, now I don't want to hear it anymore. Like, everybody knows what college football is. I'm sorry. Yeah. You're yeah. getting into
like,
it.
The world moves
on
without you kind of thing a little bit.
Hey, you know exactly what college football is because if you want to stay in it, and Dabo's have to even make adjustments. You know, he was fighting off name, image, and likeness with Clemson. He made the playoffs, not using the transfer portal. Now this year he used the transfer portal, and it's the way it is. And I think a lot of these coaches, they tried to fight the good fight, and they know they can't fight the good fight any longer. It's about staying in contact. It's about being fresh. It's about being hip. It's about being Lane Kiffin on Twitter. It's about your boosters continuing to put millions of dollars in name, image, and likeness. Just a different game.
Do you believe, it sounded like from our conversation with Tim Fitzgerald yesterday, that maybe there was some belief in Manhattan that Chris Kleiman was maybe a year away from retiring anyway. Do you think there is a chance that, all right, they already knew, meaning Gene Taylor, the athletic director, that like he was maybe close to retiring anyway. And then given what had happened this year, given the fact that Colin Klein was about to accept another job, was there a little bit of a conversation like, hey, you know,
yeah,
maybe this is the right time. Do you think that happened or do you truly think this was 100% Chris Kleiman said, I want out now?
Well, I think it was kind of the beginning part, what you're talking about, at Kansas State looking for their future, and that Colin Klein's going to go grab another job, but you don't want to lose that guy. You don't want to be sitting there in a year, 2 years, and the guy that was in your system, a guy that was finished third in the Heisman Trophy, wearing your uniform, is now coaching somewhere else, and he's been very good at being an offensive coordinator, different stops that he's been, and I think there was some of that. And here's the thing with Kleiman, though. You could tell kind of throughout the year. Like, his press conferences got really weird. I think I texted Drew a few times. Like, hey, did you listen to Kleiman after that game? He's, like, upset. And you still hear coaches that upset like him, especially a guy that's won four national titles. But he just seemed really emotional this year after some of the press conferences. I think the season got derailed, obviously, by that first game in Ireland. And then it started kind of snowballing out of control. I thought he would lose the team, but to his credit, he did. That team fought hard, and they could have, you know, kind of turned it in at that point and looked in every direction. But he fought through, got them bowl eligible, give him a ton of credit for that. But I do think that the two powers to be come together and say, all right, here's the deal. How much longer do you really want to do this? Is this something you think you can continue? Because we have an opportunity to get Colin Klein back in here as head coach. We know the season's wearing on you. I thought the guy was burnt out weeks ago, but I think he's stepping away at the right time, and he wants to put his family first. And guys don't say those kind of things unless they truly truly mean that's kind of what they want to do. So I think maybe he wanted another year, but I doubt it. I think there was now. It's just weird timing because you're missing signing day. Signing day started yesterday and ends tomorrow. So you did miss that. So there was some hold up there because if not, it had already been done.
We're talking to Jay Binkley here on 96.5 The Fan. What would you do? What do you think is the solution for where we're at in college football? Because we've got, you know, the settlement agreement that schools are not even following. They're just completely ignoring the settlement. You've got, of course, the timelines and deadlines of transfer portal and signing day that are causing issues like the Lane Kiffin situation as well to be as awkward as they were.
Yeah.
What is your solution or fix? I mean, you're not putting all the toothpaste back in the tube. We are where we are at, but what do you think could fix some of this?
Well, one thing I think a commissioner over college football, you know, you've talked with Saban about before some of his ideas, because he's right. Whatever he had an idea when he's talking about Lane Kiffin being stuck, because it was a really crappy thing he did, but in actuality, this is what coaches want. Again, signing day started yesterday. These colleges want these coaches in place for signing day to get those millions and millions and millions of dollars the boosters have put in. It's very important to have your coach ready for signing day. That's why you saw a barrage of coaching changes and coaching hirings in the last couple of days. Teams, the influx of the jobs that we saw, people wanted to do it. But yes, I think a commissioner. And I think that what Saban said, which is 100% right, the college football needs to look at that pro model and say, you can't interview for another job here until a designated period. And in the playoffs, if you have that bye week, you can talk during that first of that bye week, and they make designated times where you can talk to NFL teams or other NFL franchises. So it's never really been a problem, even though these coaches get job opportunities, interviews with other places. So they need that model, I believe. The transfer portal is a screwed up thing. Now, at least they're giving guys 5 more days so you can play in the playoff games, because Bo Prabula, he wasn't able to play in the playoffs last year for Penn State because he transferred to Missouri. It was the rules. Now, had it been this year, he could have stayed at Penn State, still transferred to Missouri in that 5-day window after. So they're trying slowly to fix things, but I think a commissioner would go a long way.
Binkley, where do you think they've got the rankings wrong right now? I mean, the one that stands out as obvious is I'm not really sure why Notre Dame's ahead of Miami. All the stats like strength of schedule and all that stuff favor Miami as much as they do Notre Dame, and Miami beat them. Do you think that one's wrong? Where do you think they're wrong in the rankings?
Yeah, I think so. I think Miami's got a legitimate argument. I mean, the ultimate qualifier is you played head-to-head, and Miami beat Notre Dame that day. It's a shame that some of these schools are penalized for some of the games they play. It's tough for Texas that could have played Eastern Michigan in game one, but instead they played at Ohio State, which is tough. But it's what you dance with. It's what you do. Miami playing Notre Dame, they did beat them head-to-head. I don't have a big problem with the rankings. I actually think they're halfway decent. It is going to be really, really interesting if Duke beats Virginia. Because that is what – can you imagine the scenario where the ACC title or champion wasn't in the playoffs? That's a legitimate possibility.
I mean, if they're not good enough, you know, like when it was 4 teams, the Big 12 got kicked out when they said one true champion and then called it a tie.
It's weird because, I mean, there could be a scenario we have 2 group of 5 teams in if they're higher ranked than that. But Duke does have some quality wins. So I would assume if they did upset Virginia, which is entirely likely, that they would be the ones getting the playoffs. But no, I like the playoffs. I think it's going to be a great playoffs. I like the format. I think there's an argument even with Alabama and some of these schools, because Alabama hasn't exactly gone out and just totally rolled people. Yes, they have that quality win against Georgia, but they have some bad losses as well, including that Florida State loss, which was a terrible loss for Alabama. Then they barely beat a 5-6 Auburn team last week. So, yeah, that's a question mark. I mean, I know Alabama's probably going to be in the playoffs, but I do believe they belong in that argument with Notre Dame and Miami.
Especially
if they don't beat Georgia. If they beat Georgia, forget about it. They're in the playoffs 100% if they win the SEC title.
What did you think of the report that came out earlier this morning that at one point in time, Vanderbilt explored, according to reports, playing a 13th game this Saturday to try to sway the college football playoff committee? Let me be clear. It's not going to happen. But the fact that they explored it, Drew and I were going back and forth during the break. I disagree with that even being something that exists if it ever happened. To me, if it's a game that we all agree that doesn't count, well, then the committee shouldn't factor it in anyway.
No, they shouldn't, and they won't. And you already hear the committees already having, you know, kind of their arguments as it is now with the ways they're playing. But no, they shouldn't have that. Now, I do feel bad for Vanderbilt. I mean, you know, it is the most wins in school history. They're probably, they have a guy that might win the Heisman Trophy in Diego Pavia. Yeah, is there an argument? Is Vanderbilt worse than Notre Dame? Is it worse than Miami? Could they compete on a neutral side against a Notre Dame or a Miami? 100% they could. They competed with teams all year round. I mean, they held their own in the SEC, and it's a shame that we don't have 16 playoff teams now, because there's always going to be arguments.
I think we all agree that Diego Pavia would be fun to watch in the college football playoff. But what you just said there is, like, I think we need 16. If I fast forward 7 years from now, I think you and others would be like, man, if we already were at 16. If only we had 20 teams, like, we could play that game all day long.
We could. I just think 16 is a good number, especially this year. I mean, other years you might say, well, it's a real stretch to put those teams in. But, man, I'm sitting here. If you're sitting with 16 now and you can think of Notre Dame, Miami, and Vanderbilt in the college football playoffs, wouldn't you think they would make a better playoffs?
Do you know what my issue is, Bink? Yeah, it probably would this year, but this is my whole issue with college football and the college football playoff committee, is that they knocked down Florida State. They haven't yet knocked down Ole Miss for losing their head coach, so they're already being inconsistent. And then you and I both, Gold, you know, Bink, you know, Drew, you know, that if Vanderbilt's jersey said Georgia with the identical resume, said Alabama with the identical resume, said Oregon with the identical, they'd be in the college football playoff anyway.
Absolutely.
They're getting dinged because their name's Vanderbilt. That sucks.
Yep. It's what the committee does and their discussions. And, you know, this Mississippi thing's been really interesting. You know, they've been asked for the last couple of weeks, Yurchek's been asked about Mississippi, you're going to dock them. And they don't have data points because Florida State did, because you got to see Florida State play several games without the quarterback. So there was data points there that we don't know data points down for Ole Miss. I think it's a total mess. And then you had the offensive coordinator, Charlie Weiss Jr., that got on the plane with Lane Kiffin. Then he flew back to Ole Miss. Now he's going to be the offensive coordinator. I think, guys, I'll be honest with you, I think that part stinks. And all these coaches like Eric Morris in North Texas, if he sneaks in as group of five, he's already moving on to Oklahoma State. All these coaches and assistant coaches, in a way, you're already getting watered down playoffs. You really are. There's so many of these coaches and their assistant coaches that already have their eye on another school, and they're not 100% committed to the teams in the playoffs. I think that part stinks.
Last one real quick. Big 12, do you think they get two teams in, or do you think the winner is the only team that gets in on Saturday?
If BYU, I believe, would be out unless they upset Texas Tech. If they upset Texas Tech, I think obviously Texas Tech's not going to be out of the playoffs, and sure, BYU would actually be in them. Is that kind of what you're thinking too? That
BYU wins,
I think they have two.
Yeah, I assume Texas Tech is going to win, and then it'll eliminate BYU.
Yeah, it will. But if BYU somehow won, and they were just completely outmatched by Texas Tech in that first meeting, but if for some reason they were able to beat them, I don't think they're going to drop Texas Tech from the playoffs.
Bink, appreciate it as always, man.
All right, my friends. Thank you, guys.
There you go. Jay Binkley with us here on 96.5 The Fan, talking a little college football as it is conference championship Saturday coming up, and major, major implications ahead of the final and ultimate one that matters, college football playoff selection show.
If we factor in even things like the Travis quarterback injury or head coach, all that stuff, why not factor in a fake game against Miami? I don't think you should be allowed.
I don't think
you should be allowed to do it. But if they played Miami on Saturday and those two teams went against each other and Vanderbilt win, why can't they choose to pay attention to that?
Adding a new game.
They would not.
It wouldn't. But in college football, the record already said the record doesn't matter. They've established that record doesn't matter. Wins and losses don't matter. That's like, or they do, but like not for everything. They've got lots of other reasoning and reasons to choose things.
You know, if 12 games is not enough to convince the committee, you might disagree that it should have convinced them, but if it's not enough, it's not enough, is I guess what I'm saying. Like, we can disagree. Like, I would like Vandy in the college football playoff as well, but you played 12 games, and if we all agree that the committee is likely going to tell them it wasn't good enough, then it wasn't good enough. Like, we don't now just add another game and try to convince them again. One, you're not going to convince them. And two, you shouldn't be allowed to factor in the extra game. That's craziness.
If it's already an unfair sport, though, like, why not give the small school?
But you're basically just saying, like, it's already a mess, so let's make it a bigger bleep show.
Yeah, in a lot of ways, I'm saying it's already an unjust system. As in, the same thing I pointed out, if Georgia was Vanderbilt's identical schedule and team, they would absolutely, without question, be in the college football playoff.
I think there's a debate against that, actually.
What?
Vanderbilt's best win is unranked Tennessee, or it's Missouri. That's Vanderbilt's best win.
Yeah, but if it was Alabama, they'd put him in.
I'm just saying, they lost to anybody else who they played that was good. They lost to Texas. They lost to Alabama. It was close against Texas. They lost by 16 points to Alabama. They beat LSU when they were ranked, but LSU is not good.
But didn't you just say you think Vandy should be in? You're making a strong case for why they shouldn't be in right now.
No, I said you can make a case either way for them. Okay, you can make their case, they're 10-2 and they went 10-2 in the SEC, and if Alabama loses, then, well...
Wait, where's LSU ranked? That's not
they're
a
not ranked.
Win?
They're not anymore.
Missouri is not ranked in the CFP. LSU's not ranked.
I know, but LSU went 6-1 in the SEC. That's a pretty good win.
I'm just saying, they throttled South Carolina, not inside the top. Their best win is an unranked now Tennessee Volunteers team.
But now we're pretending like the SEC is not the God's gift of conferences, and wins there, even against unranked teams,
I understand
aren't important.
That, but I think that conversation is still, Texas A&M is 7th in the country. Texas A&M, you look at Texas A&M's schedule, their best win is Notre Dame. And that was in week 2. Their SEC schedule wasn't particularly difficult, and they lost to Texas. So if you look at A&M, are we sure that they actually are as good of a team as they look to be?
Well, they'll have a chance
at some
to prove it
during the
they?
Season. So I think that's them going 11-1. They're obviously in, but I think the part of the conversation of what the committee would decide to do versus what they should decide to do is part of the problem here. Is what team, if you want to pick the best 12 teams, then Notre Dame is absolutely in the playoff, and they might be top 5 if we're talking about best teams right now. Texas is probably in the playoff if we're talking best teams, but if we're talking resume, then Texas is not in. Miami should absolutely be ahead of Notre Dame in this conversation, and Vandy should be out. And if Alabama loses to Georgia, I mean, they beat Georgia, so Alabama's probably in, but you start playing this game of what matters more than the other, where in no other sport it matters that way, where you got human beings determining who's in and who's out, varying a variety of factors.
It's probably bad, but, I view bad loss worse than good win in a lot of ways. Like, Texas...
So you think if Alabama loses, they should be out 100%
because
to Florida State?
Yeah, because, Texas, for instance, they got... what should ding them more than Vanderbilt not playing a difficult schedule is... They lost to Florida.
Yeah, I agree.
That's a bad football team. That's more embarrassing than I beat good teams
100%,
on my schedule.
That's why Texas won't get in, not because they lost to Ohio State or scheduled Ohio State. It's going to be because they lost to Florida and a terrible, terrible loss. You don't lose to Florida, it doesn't matter what would have happened in week 1 against Ohio
100%.
State. This is why they have the playoff committee rankings and stuff, because here we are, we're disagreeing and arguing about what's wrong with the committee or what the committee is going to choose to do and everything. I just am firmly I don't think we want to get into this game of where teams can last minute add an extra game to try to prove a point. Imagine in the NCAA, again, I gave the NCAA tournament example. We have this argument with the tournament, and there's 68 spots for that thing, and we have coaches that come on at the end of Selection Sunday and how could we not get in? You didn't do enough. There's 68 spots. You didn't do enough. The same thing is basically happening here in college
12,
football.
Though. Well, you heard Bink. Much
you heard
Bink. Number.
But you heard Bink say, this is why we need 16. But then if we had 16, this is why we need 18. No, this is why we need 20. This is why we need 24. We would do this every single
this
time.
This is
no
always
how
the
many
challenge.
Teams
is in college sports in particular, this is a huge challenge they have. Is I understand your complaint is we'll just always push the number up until all of a sudden it's the D2 playoffs and 32 teams are battling up against each other. But when you play in different conferences and unbalanced schedules that you choose, not like in the NFL where the teams you play are the teams you have to play. If you're Missouri, every year you set a schedule and be take on San Jose State this year.
Now, there are new requirements some of the conferences have made. Yeah, they have changed it a little bit, but yes.
But it's also unbalanced, right? I told you, I still think, I look at the records and all this other stuff, and this goes back to BYU. BYU should be in the college football playoff. I think the Big 12 is the same thing. If you switch the name of the conferences, we'd be calling the Big 12 a balanced, tough conference with a ton of great teams. But because they're the Big 12 versus the SEC, we call them average, mediocre, they're no good, all the teams stink. That's why BYU got to 11-1, because the conference is no good versus there's balance and tough.
Yeah.
And so it's so much on just opinions and not what happened.
Well, we all didn't like the BCS and the computers back in the day. Now we're complaining that people's opinions are choing teams.
Isn't it crazy how the BCS? It's all
does anybody run the BCS right now with the BCS rankings?
Somebody still does it every year.
Somebody does come out with it. I do agree with Bink though, 100%. College football more than anything needs a commissioner for all of this stuff because I think when they do get to 16, there is a conversation to be had about potential play-in games for every conference and automatic bids and stuff where you get a play-in type of environment where there's a set number of bids, and if you finish top six in your conference, three plays six, four plays five, the winner, you're in automatically, and there's a way to make it work. But obviously, with where we're at, it's a whole lot of he said, she said, opinions, bias, of course, is involved because they got an active AD sitting at the top of the CFP committee, which is also a potential, which is also an issue.
That seems really bad.
Although, in fairness, before and while she's a brilliant human being, like Condoleezza Rice was on the damn committee at one point. Like, what do we do? Like, I don't know who needs to be on the committees. Like,
they should have
just give me 12 Jay Binkleys across the country. Like, are you kidding? I mean, it's a fairly simple process. Yeah. Just get 12 people like Jay Binkley who stay up on the West Coast. Watch East Coast games, watch Maction, watch it all, and get me 12 people like him. And I would take that over pretty much any committee they put together at this point.
Especially these people who are voting on these eight polls.
I actually do think, now they want to keep it insulary, but I think there actually is an argument that one or two people on the committee should be a member of the media. I really believe that. Like, to kind of what Cody was saying, like, it's
just to have somebody else in the room.
I mean, right now it is, I guess they had, in fairness, they have had a member of the media on it, right? Then they had the former USA Today writer. I think they have had a member of the media on it, haven't they? Or am I off base?
I don't know
on
if
that?
They were on the committee or not, but they might have been in the room. I don't know if they were involved in conversations.
I'm trying to go back. I'd have to look at the original college football playoff committee. I want to say they did.
Dan Wetzel or whoever? Or somebody like that?
No, we've had him on the show. Weiberg or whatever? I have to go back and look.
Yeah, there was one.
So I guess they have done that. Like, so maybe I'm off base. Right now there's not, though, is there?
I don't think so. You just can't have any active
original committee. Chris Ault, Jim Grubb, Ward Manuel, Condoleezza Rice, Will Shields, is that right?
Yeah.
I don't think there was any media member. Pinkel, Mac Rhodes. Yeah, there's no media.
I don't think anybody actively working for a conference should be on it.
The problem, though, too, is that even if they're not working in a conference, they have bias. Like, if Nick Saban was on the committee,
bias.
Nick Saban is going to favor the SEC teams. Yeah. Like, there's going to be a bias, obviously.
Okay.
Where the BCS system, in fairness, plug all the numbers into a computer. Here's the best 12 teams, and this is what we're going to do. These are the ones that automatically qualify.
Yep.
Who's left? I don't know. Maybe we get back to that point someday.
But just spread out the bias, I guess, is the whole point. Find 12 Jay Binkleys, and they all, like, two of them grew up cheering for the Pac-12. Two of them grew up cheering for the Big 12. Two of them are SEC. Yep. Two of them are ACC. And just find people like that. And let all the, because bias exists no matter what.
That's well, just put a bunch of active coaches. No, that would be awful.
That would be worse.
Oh, they're buddies now, an assistant at this school. It'd be awful.
Imagine the active coach part. Even if they weren't in the college football playoff or were, imagine just like choosing like, well, I don't want Miami to get better recruits, so voting against them.
Not the active coaches. That's a disastrous decision. All right. Up next, we get back to the NFL with Dane and Hughes, former Chiefs wide receiver. I want to ask him about the wide receivers there, including Nico Collins with the Texans. What does he see offensively from C.J. Stroud, and what plan would he have to try to protect Patrick Mahomes and have a functional offense against this pass rush? That's next.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.